Thank you for tuning in to the Emerge Church Tallahassee podcast. We exist to help people follow Jesus so they can live out God's plans for their lives. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you can be updated anytime we add new content. Now let's check out the message from Sunday. Yeah. How's everybody today? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Look at your other neighbor and say, I think you really needed to be here today. Man, I am flying solo today. Yeah. So Cynthia and Ella Pearl are finishing up a dance competition in Jacksonville. And yesterday I had this revelation. I'm going to be home tonight by myself. Well, he rode with me, but he don't live at my house anymore. He's back there like, what about me? I was all by myself last night. Anyway, missing my crew, man. Missing them. And so happy to be here to share this message with you today. Today's a little nostalgic for me. 25 years ago, on March the 1st, 25 years ago, I went into the ministry. And so I feel like this is one of those 25-year anniversary services today. And so let's jump in at Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. This is one of those verses that just so good and keep on giving. It says this. I wanted to read it out the King James today for all the King James fans. This one's for you. I know you get fired up about it. King James, Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. Watch this, and he shall bring it to pass. And I want to give a little cliffhanger on that one, because I think there's some stuff we're trying to get through, some stuff we're trying to do, some life that we're trying to accomplish. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? And today, I want to talk about a topic that I think is challenging for each and every one of us, because we're trying. Look at your neighbor and just say, I'm trying. I'm trying. Today, I want to talk to you about dealing with disappointment. So anybody in here ever been disappointed before? Anybody came to church today and you're disappointed? I ain't raising my hand. Okay. I want to talk about that. Let's pray. Lord, you are so good. You're so faithful. And I just pray over the next few moments, God, that it's not just me talking, but it's you speaking. So, Lord, I ask you to touch every heart, open every ear to hear, to receive. God, just to experience who you are and how good you are. Help me to portray that today as I share this message. The goodness of God, I thank you, Lord, will be on full display in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you use the phrase, you've got to be kidding me? Yeah. Like when something happens and it's unbelievable that it's actually happening. And it just, it comes out so effortlessly. You have got to be kidding me. I'm not even sure what that fully means, but I know that's what you're supposed to say whenever one of those incidents happen. And it's one thing for it to be an incident, like where that happens, you're like, you've got to be kidding. But what happens where it goes from an incident to like a month? All right, or like a few months. And I know for so many of you, that never happens to you. It just happens to other people who need to get right with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because surely that's happening because they're gross sinners and God's trying to show them a thing or two, because that's how we, for some reason, think that God works, and that ain't really how he works, but that's our only explanation for why in the world these crazy things happen. And so today what I want to do is I want to have a few moments to talk to you just about what in the world is going on. I want to talk to somebody who is discouraged today. I want to talk to somebody who is disappointed. I want to talk to the person that feels like I'm not there yet. I want to talk to the person who's like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I want to talk to the person today that's saying, I thought I would be further along. Yeah. I'm just basically trying to say all these scenarios to cover everybody. That's all I'm trying to do. Yeah. But what I do want to do, though, is I want to speak to you today out of some things that over the last 2 years I have been fighting with. This is a vulnerable message today that I believe that God wants to speak to us. And I want to come from some things that I've walked through in the last couple of years. And let me just say this, because I have shared some vulnerable stories before. Like one time I told the church I have overthinking tendencies. And I remember I was meeting with someone not long after that, and I was trying to give them some counsel. And they said, now, before you talk, I know you're an overthinker. It's like, I ain't never telling y'all nothing again, man. It could throw this at me. Can't do that. And sometimes I say this stuff, you know, because I want to tell some real life stories for you to relate with. Sometimes I just want to be funny. Seriously, I will throw myself under the bus to get you to laugh, because once you laugh, you listen better. Strategy, baby. You got to have one, okay? And so, you know, we just celebrated 12 years as a church. And super exciting. And so it's always so incredible to celebrate that. But I want to back up 2 years to our 10-year anniversary, because that was a different story for me personally. Like, I will always celebrate what God has done and how awesome. And listen, you have to know, there's that part of me that's just like, thank God it worked. Yeah. I have to be honest, okay? And so for the 10-year anniversary, though, I remember just thinking some thoughts to myself as we were in service. Now, keep in mind, this is in the service, and I have to come up to speak. And all the while I'm preparing to come up here and share something exciting, we're celebrating 10 years and all that stuff, there are these thoughts that are going on the inside of me, where I had it was like ongoing thoughts of like, this is it? This is all you've been able to accomplish in 10 years? And it was personal. And it was thought after thought, man. And I'm sharing this with you today because I know there are people in this room that when you're trying to step into something that you were made for, something that you know that you're supposed to do, there's this belief that because I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, I won't have any fear. I won't have any worries. I won't have anything wrong that's going on, you know, all those things. And it's going to be like a red carpet entrance with fanfare and trumpets and limo rides and all this stuff. And what I've learned is it's not always red carpet. That's right. Sometimes it's just crazy thoughts just bombarding you, really questioning you. And some of y'all are like, bro, you need counseling. Well, you do too. I'll tell you one of the thoughts, man, one of the thoughts was, I thought we would have a building by now. And I didn't like it when people would come and ask me about a building. I would just try to be as nice as could be, because I didn't like talking about it, because every time someone would ask me about it, it would make me feel like we just didn't do it. We wasn't good enough. Come on, can I be that vulnerable? Does that make you a little nervous? I have to tell you, I am nervous today. I am. One of the thoughts that kept coming was, I thought this would be more established. I didn't even know what that meant, but it just kept coming. Like the whole time. And so that Sunday, I thought, okay, this is just today. Gonna shake this thing. Tomorrow's a brand new day. I'm usually off on Mondays. I like to cut grass on Mondays. It's like the highlight. I love it, man. Just riding on a lawnmower, earbuds in, listening to a sermon, listening to some music. It's like the best for me. I know, for you, it's like, well, come cut my yard. And I'll just say I know a guy, okay? And so what happened that day was I celebrated 10 years as a church by faith without the feelings. I celebrated by faith without the feelings. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We're going to do this anyway. Yeah. And so I thought it would last for a day, but it turned into weeks. In fact, the next day as I was riding the mower, cutting the yard, the thoughts intensified. And I'm like, oh, no. No, devil, you can't come at me. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? The little spiritual warfare begin to happen, and I'm just fighting these thoughts, trying to bring them in. It's like it's going to be all right, and it turned into weeks, and it turned into months. And I'm telling you, I would walk in this place on Sunday morning, and they were there. I'd walk up here to preach, and they were there. And it's like, why am I feeling this inadequacy at a point where I feel like this is something I'm gifted to do? It was such a conflict because there's what I know God has for me, and then there was what I know was happening and what I was feeling all at the same time. And as much as I'm a faith over feelings kind of guy, I have to be honest, those feelings were strong. Amen? Like real strong. And so I just thought, man, this is gonna be a fight. That's where I'm at. I'm in a war. I'm in my warrior season. You know how we psych ourselves up by saying that kind of stuff? Y'all know what I'm saying? Like preacher talk, we preach to ourselves. You're in your warrior season. God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. This summer. You know, like how you go into, like, I know some of y'all are like, this preacher is crazy. Let's get out of here. Don't, no, that's like a sympathy love right there, man. I ain't finished yet. Hold on. this is where you come up with all your little quotes. Oh, everything happens for a reason. Y'all know that one? I never like it when somebody tells me that. Never do. It's just a season. It's just a season I'm in. And it was like all of those things I was telling myself to make myself feel better. But it wasn't working. And I knew at some point I was going to share this with somebody, because all those little things you're telling yourself, it ain't working. Am I right? Like you tell yourself, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. The best is yet to come. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. I believe it by faith. I stand and declare on the word of God. It's going to get, you know how you get a little fired up as you're doing it? And then you're looking at it, it's like, it ain't getting better. This is still happening. And it wasn't like a deep, dark depression. Like I wasn't spiraling down, man. But I could tell you what it was. It was a lingering feeling of dissatisfaction. And it wasn't that I was dissatisfied with people. It was I was dissatisfied with myself. Just dissatisfied. And it wasn't out of control, man. It wasn't like I was living my life every day freaking out. It was like right at the right moment. Like at the right moment. Like when I didn't need to feel that way and I'm trying to step into, that's where it would just fire up, man. And I was like, okay. And so it was disappointing. It was discouraging. And there was a part of me, not all of me, but there was a part of me that felt defeated. Seriously. But at the same time, though, I was still determined. Like, oh, no, I ain't going down like this. We're going to do this. Let's get it on. You know, it's just that mindset. But it was like there was something that was messing with my mind. But, man, at the same time, I could sense God moving in me. It wasn't like God stopped. God was still doing his thing. I was still like reading my word, and it was like a download. It was awesome. Still having some worship moments, but there were some other moments where it was just coming in like a flood. And it was vulnerable. That's how I felt, pretty vulnerable with it. And I didn't want to quit. I'll tell you that, just to give you a little reassurance here. I don't want y'all to think pastor's going through a therapy session with a sermon here. I never wanted to quit, but man, I wanted these feelings to quit. Like I wanted them to quit. I want to define the word disappointed for you today. The word disappointed means saddened by the failure of an expectation. Saddened by the failure of an expectation. Anybody ever had a failure of an expectation? Yes. And here's the thing. Some of those expectations, we don't even know where they came from. Like, I didn't come up with that. But when it isn't met, whoo, it hits you. It really does. And I'll define it like this, more in my words. When you have an expectation, like on yourself, on someone, when you have an expectation, like for an outcome, and whatever happens just doesn't even come close to what you were expecting. You've got to be kidding me. Am I right? And then as it goes on, it's not just you've got to be kidding me about whatever this is. It's like, you've got to be kidding me these thoughts again. Yeah. And so you're already dissatisfied with whatever it is, yourself, someone else. And then you're dissatisfied with yourself for still thinking those thoughts about someone else or about that outcome. And it just keeps going. You know what I'm saying? It's like recycle over and over. Like that's what it felt like for so long. And I think we've all been disappointed by an outcome that didn't happen the way we wanted. Am I right? Yeah. We've all had that. We've all been disappointed with a relationship where something happened and it was like, I wasn't expecting that. Whatever happened is like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. You're like, all the things. We've all been in that place with a relationship. We've all had those moments where we felt disappointment by what didn't happen. We were disappointed by what should have happened. We're disappointed in ourselves because we're saying, I thought I would be further along in my career. We're disappointed because we thought our marriages would be better. We're disappointed because we put all that hard work into our kids and they still act crazy. Can't even go to the restaurant with them. You know what I'm saying? And then like you get that great opportunity, like with your job or something, you get that great opportunity, you go for it, and it's like, oh, this project is harder than I thought. And so you're working it, and then you get it done, but it's not as good as you wanted it to be. Anybody here? Or here's the thing. You start the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and it's like, this year's going to be different. This is my year. I ain't going to cuss this year. This is my year. I am not cussing this year. And you can't even pull out the parking lot. And then it's kind of like the condemnation of all the world. All of hell's demons and angels have pounced on you to tell you you're a heathen. And that's it. It's over. Destruction has come upon you. And it's like, what is going on here? And it puts you in that place of, man, if this is how it feels all the time, man, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. Amen? I know it's vulnerable today and I'm nervous, but I got to share this. Because if we don't go down to the depths of this stuff, we'll just keep surface leveling this thing. You know what I'm saying? And making ourselves feel good. Let me post something real quick. And I ain't saying it to you. I'm saying it to me. Now we talking. Now we preaching. So how we deal with the disappointment has the potential to affect the course of how we move forward. Or potentially, you can just stay right there. So I went through the process of what most believers do in the situation. Let's rebuke the devil. Am I right? Oh, you want to fight? Let's fight. Let's go behind the building. You know, okay, this is a spiritual warfare moment. And you start doing that and nothing's changing. So he's like, huh? Maybe it's me. So you go from rebuking the devil to repenting of all your sins. Sins you didn't even commit. I think I may have done that. I'm not sure if I did or not, but Lord, I repent to you today. Then you post the verse on social media. Then after that. Because there's this thought that if I keep saying enough to it, then all these things that are being said to me will be silenced. Okay? I want to say this one point right here, and I think this is huge. When you're disappointed, you actually have a decision to make right there. And I want you to remember that. When you're disappointed, you have a decision to make. Here's the first decision I think you got to make. Am I going to dwell on it? Now, it may be dwelling on you, but that doesn't mean that you have to dwell on it. That's good. And that's huge. Because even though there's noise, I still got things to do. I can't stop and keep spraying the squeaky wheel with oil. We got work to do. Like, I got a life to live. Amen? And so dwelling on it. Dwelling is the diving board to spiraling. If you let yourself go there. And this is so important right here. Because I knew I didn't want to stay disappointed. I didn't want to stay in that state. Amen? You don't want to stay in that state. So what do? We try to redirect our thoughts. It's like if I can ignore it, it ain't happening. But it was still happening even though I was ignoring it. And there were a lot of opportunities to dwell right there, to feel sorry for myself, to look for someone to feel sorry for me. Like, that's what dwelling wants you to do. And I need you to hear this the right way, because this might go counter to some of the belief and thoughts that people have with this, but the longer you dwell on it, the further down you go into it. Like, if you dwell on a problem and keep dwelling on it, that problem will multiply even though it didn't really multiply. But just by dwelling on it, your focus, it has obtained so much of our focus that I can't think of anything else. And even though I was determined to resist the devil, it's like these thoughts couldn't resist me. Okay? And then to add to it, at the same time, there's still other disappointments happening in life. It's not like, hey, life says, I'll give you a break because you got this really big disappointment going on. Nothing else is going to happen because you got the big one going on, but I got a bunch of little ones over here that I'm just save up for after you got it. No, it was like, oh, you still got that? Let me give you this too. Yeah. And here comes the line, when it rains, how did we get so good with these quotes? And you know what's bad is people think this is like scripture. It's not. I'm going to ask you this question today. What disappointment have you been dwelling on? Like, what is the disappointment in your life that has just taken your attention hostage? And it's all you think about all the time. Every Bible verse that you read, even though God's trying to speak to you about something else in your life, you twist it, spin it, aim it, focus it, reword it, and put it into the context of that one disappointment all the time. Because we have this thought that if I'm this worried about it, this is all that God's worried about with me. And can I tell you, there's more to you than your disappointment. Amen. There's more to you than what you're disappointed about. Amen. But it has your focus so much that you can't see other things that are actually good. Right. Like, I've done some marriage counseling, and so many times people come in and it's all problem, 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 problem. And when you try to redirect them to see some of the good stuff, they get mad at you. And it's like, what you want me to do, beat you down? Or you want me to help you up? I need you to see that you got one thing that's just not good, but got 10 things over here. You're killing it. You're killing it. But because we're so focused on it and we're dwelling on it so much, we can't see possibility. Can't see it. All we see is problem. And we stay disappointed because that didn't change. And most of the time, for that to change, you ain't ready for this. It means I gotta change. Look at your neighbor and say, I gotta change. So when you're disappointed, you got a decision to make. Am I gonna dwell on it or am I going to diagnose it? And this one for me was the one. This was the one. The dwelling thing, man, I had too much going on to sit there and just hang out in that. Yeah. Okay? And so the dwelling thing wasn't the problem. But when I did have free time, I was so amped up. I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. And so I went into diagnosing mode. I'm going to diagnose. And it's the thought of what's wrong with me. I've got to figure this out. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had a little symptom and you went on WebMD? Why do we do that? We know better, but no one's looking. Oh, I'm going to die. That's it. I knew it. So I'm a problem solver by nature, okay? I feel like that's one of the strengths that I have, and I need y'all to hear this the right way. I felt like that was one of the strengths that I had, so this appealed to me greatly, okay? It's one of my strengths. Y'all hear how I'm saying that. I'm not telling you the rest of it. I'm just trying to string you along a little bit. This was one of my strengths, so it appealed to me greatly. And it was the idea, watch this, that I could solve my way out of this like an escape room. Like an escape room. That if I got the clues right, that is like I could, ooh, and then it's motivating because it's like, ooh, I'm a problem solver. I'm about to knock this out. Let's go. Let's do this. And I was trying to diagnose it for anything that would happen. At the same time that this is happening, y'all, I had mechanic issues with my truck. I had appliance issues at home. My AC went out. My house got struck by lightning. I mean, I could go down the list of all the different things at the same time. Are you kidding me? Could have made a shirt and sold it. You would have bought it. I relate. I relate, Pastor. You don't want to. So watch this. I like to use that idea of the escape room. And I was determined to figure this out. And in the middle of that, it was the whole thought of maybe God is trying to show me something. You know how we try to start bringing some redemption to this stuff? It's like, oh, I probably ought to include the Lord somewhere. So then you just try to like, oh, maybe the Lord's trying to show me something. And so watch this. I thought if I could troubleshoot it, I could come out of it. And that is such a strong word for so many in this room today, because you believe if you can troubleshoot what's going on with it, that you can fix it, that you can solve it, that you can come out of it. And can I tell you, the only guarantee you have is as strong as you are. As strong as you are, that is the only guarantee that you have that you can overcome it, that you can fix it, that you can come through it. And listen, I believe in being strong. Amen. Be strong. The Lord told Joshua, be strong. Be strong. And I got it. Be strong. And I was trying to work my strength, my problem-solving strength, to diagnose it. And I thought if I could just really see what was going on, then I can change that part out like you would on a car. If I could see really what's going on, I could change that part out and everything will be fine. And I want to show you that this was more of a temptation of my desire to figure it out than it was for God to show me something. I want to show you this, okay? And I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. I want to read out the Message Bible because this sounds more like how we talk, okay? This is where things got real. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. The serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. And he spoke to the woman. The setting is the Garden of Eden. There's two people on the planet, Adam and Eve. And at this time, the serpent comes crawling through the garden to tempt them. Okay, this is where we're at. And he spoke to the woman. Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it, don't even touch it, or you'll die. And the serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, here it is, you'll see what's really going on. Wow. you'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. And when the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything. Come on. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate, and immediately the two of them did see what's really going on. They saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. Some of y'all are like, I have no clue what you're about to say, bro. And that's where I wanted you to be. That phrase, see what's really going on, was the real temptation. Because whenever I could see what's really going on, then I could tell you what you really need to do. And if we're not careful, what we try to do is step into the place and I'll be God. That's why your strength, you got to understand where it comes from. Because if it's just yours, you'll try to use it in a way that will replace the strength of God in your life. See, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me slow down this thing. The temptation is to know everything. The temptation is to be in the know. And that was the strategy that I had for what I was struggling with right there. Boy, if I know what's going on, I can solve it. Come on, I'm analytical. I'm a problem solver. Like, I'm going to get this. Let's diagnose, baby. And there's an adrenaline that comes with it. And the more I tried to diagnose it, watch this, the more I would dwell on it and the more I would dwell in it. And it was a rabbit hole that was actually a carefully laid trap of the enemy. And it was an attempt, watch this, to deceive me, to keep me stuck in my feelings rather than walking in faith. This is where the temptation was. And let me just slide this. What disappointment are you trying to diagnose in your life right now? It's got all your attention. It's all you think of. And you're going to solve this problem. Every conversation becomes about solving that problem. If you check your search history on your computer, on your phone, it's all about solving that problem. Because I'm going to figure it out. I'm not going down like this. I'm going to bow up to this thing. And that's where I was, man. Because I felt equipped. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I felt equipped, man. I felt empowered. It's like, oh, this is my wheelhouse. Yeah. But really, nothing was getting accomplished because I would try to fix this. And then another thing would break. And I would try to fix that. And another thing would break. Look, I fixed the truck. And then the radiator busted. Are you kidding me? Is this too heavy today? I'm okay, by the way. Some of y'all are like, oh, pray for Pastor. Yeah, I do, but I'm okay. I'm like, I don't sound like it. Here's where it got real, y'all. Right here. Because here's the other decision. Am I going to dismantle it? Oh, I know what you're thinking, but I'm going to take it a different way than what you think. This is where the game began to change because, truth be told, I couldn't figure it out. But I knew that only God could give me the breakthrough. And so when I say dismantle, I know what we think of, like dismantling a bomb, right? Red wire, blue wire, yellow wire. Lord, give me wisdom. Isn't that how it feels sometimes? I'm about to go have this conversation with my spouse. Red wire, blue wire, yellow wire. Help me, Lord. We're about to go talk to the kids' teacher. Red wire, yellow wire, blue wire. Oh, the boss wants to see me today. Oh, God. Red wire, yellow wire, blue wire. I know. So we think of dismantling a bomb that's about to explode. But the root word in there is the word mantle. And that's a key word. And one of the ways that you describe a person with God's anointing on their life is to say that there is a mantle on them. There is a mantle on their life. And the mantle in the Bible, it represented a man's gift, the call of God, and the purpose for which God had called him. There's a mantle. And the mantle served as a symbolic purpose. In the case of the prophets, whenever they would show up, it shows that they were wrapped in God's authority. So they literally wore a cloak. And they call that cloak the mantle. But the mantle wasn't just something that you bought at the mall. This cloak was symbolic that God's hand, God's anointing was on his life. And this is the moment where you begin to realize the enemy was trying to dismantle me. Anybody following? I want to talk to the mom in here that's ever been attacked in her role as a mother. And the thoughts of, you can't raise this kid to be who they're supposed to be because you fall short. I want to talk to the man today that as a husband feels like we're never going to get this marriage together because it's me. It's my fault and I can't do anything right. I want to talk to the student in here today that the thoughts are coming at you that you will never make mom and dad proud. You will never be good enough to walk in a career that dad would say, I'm proud of you, son. That's who this message is for. Because what we've got to see that all of this isn't just to mess with your head. It's an attack, an all-out attack on your purpose. It's to get you to step away from being the mom that God called you to step into. It's to get you to step away from the family that God called you to lead. It's to get you to step away and take easy street and follow the culture instead of stepping into purpose with a career that may shock people in your family. So I had to learn how to dismantle the bomb of disappointment before it dismantled me. And it happened so differently than I thought. I thought if I shouted enough at the devil, y'all remember that song back in the 80s? Shout at the devil. You don't want to hear it. It's not the same context. But we just think if I shout at the devil, it will stop. If I shout louder than the thoughts, it will stop. Or if we talk about it enough, it will stop. Listen, you can keep walking around the mountain over and over and over and over, but if that's the mountain that God told you to cross, walking around it ain't going to solve it. You got to go over it. If that's the mountain that God said, speak to it and cast it into the sea, it don't matter how much of your observation you make about the mountain, you still got to speak to it and say, be thrown into the sea. Amen? So this is where things change. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk and live in the flesh, that's real life, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. In other words, this is what it's saying. Your human strength and all those strengths that you got, that ain't going to do it. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, which means weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Those thoughts were a stronghold. That's like old school, like church talk right there. It was a stronghold. It wasn't a trigger. It wasn't a trauma. It was a stronghold. It was something that the enemy was using to try to say, no further than this. This is it. It was a stronghold. I like that. But they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Such strong scripture. So you're thinking that this is about spiritual warfare, and it is, but not like you think. Because my thought was, let's nuke the devil. let's just drop spiritual bombs on him. Right? I know, man. It's like, let's go to war. You want to go to war? Let's go to war. I will bomb you. They just came out with a new song the other day. I will turn it up. But I learned that the fight that I thought I was in wasn't the real fight. Because watch this. Disappointment wasn't even the issue. Delight was. And I'm getting emotional even telling you about it. Because I spent so much time trying to fight something. Didn't even need to fight. So much time. Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Man, I was functioning out of desire when I needed to be working in delight. So the way to tear down the stronghold, listen to me, the way to do spiritual warfare, the way to dismantle the disappointment is simple. It's to delight in the Lord. Some of y'all are like, that just sounds too pretty. The word delight means to take pleasure in. The word delight means to enjoy. It means to find joy in. It says delight in the Lord, not delight in your life. Delight in the Lord. And the things I wasn't delighted about led me to follow some desires to try to diagnose it. And I just kept eating from that tree, y'all, knowing more. And I felt empowered because I knew. And watch this, I felt adrenalized. When all along, I didn't need adrenaline to overcome this. I was already anointed. Remember what I said? To dismantle is to take away, to try to take away the anointing that's on her life. And he didn't have to take it away. Because I would have just surrendered it by diagnosing everything, just like they did in the garden. They gave up delighting in the Lord for a desire to know everything. And that, my friends, has been the worldly issue since day one. Because you're not going to make a fool out of me. I'm smart. I know things. But you can be smart and you can know everything. If you lose the delight in the Lord, you lost the one that knows everything. So watch this. Was my enjoyment of him based on the results of what he could do? Because, like, there's people sitting in here right now at church, and you worship, but you don't enjoy God. You don't enjoy him because you've been praying for that thing for so long, and it is not happening. And every time you talk to God, all you talk to him about is that thing that is going on. Hello, I know. Because when I was in diagnose mode, my prayer was like, okay, God, let's brainstorm here. And at the same time, the Lord's like, let's show some other stuff. Do you still enjoy the Lord? I have come to this conclusion, man. It took me 25 years of ministry to come to this conclusion. All along, man. And you got to remember this. You know what he wants more than anything from you? He wants you to want him. That's what he wants. You know how the Bible says that he's a jealous God? You know why? Because he wants you to want him. And what I'm saying is to overcome the disappointment, I've got to get myself back into place of delighting in the Lord. When was the last time you just enjoyed worshiping him? Not, I'm going to worship my way out of this battle, but it's just, I'm going to worship you, Lord. When was the last time you enjoyed your word? Not because I got to find a word search on, okay, let me find what it says about feeling just overwhelmed today. No, not that one. Let me find another version. Oh, there it is. Oh, I'm putting that on my Facebook today. When was the last time you just enjoyed serving? Like enjoyed it. Not because you were helping them out, but because, Lord, you let me be a part of what you're doing. See, I'm sharing some things today that's putting out the fires of so much of our disappointment. Because when you're disappointed, you begin to do some things differently. You do. I know. When was the last time you enjoyed giving? Like you actually enjoyed giving the tithe. Actually enjoyed giving the offering. Without the mindset of, oh God, the whole economy is falling apart and I hope they do something good with this and not just use it to do something fun. Like where, what happened to the enjoyment? And key word in there, joy. Remember whenever David fell with Bathsheba and he prayed that prayer, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. You know what he said? And restore unto me what? The joy of my salvation. In other words, I got to get back to the place that I was delighted in him. Even though all this was going on, it's all right, Lord. If it's just me and you, if you're the only one that says I believe in you, I'll roll with it. If you're the only one that says I love you, I will roll with it. I can't control it. I can't even fix this thing anymore. I'm going to trade it in. I'm going to trade in desire because I want delight. I want delight. And so when I worship now, I'm not coming with a conditional worship that if all the things are right and they play my song and I'm in the mood, I just love the Lord so much that if I'm in the mood or not, Lord, today I'm going to worship you. Amen? Because I want to enjoy you, Lord. Delight. Delight in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Chasing desires, finding delight. That's where the disappointment's at. When we chase desires. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's what's still happening today. Have your desires of him become greater than your delight in him. That's what I learned in the last 2 years. I don't have to go pray stress prayers anymore. Oh God, I know they sound great. But now it's like, God, I already know. I already know that you're a healer. It's like I don't have to put on a dog and pony show and be fancy enough to persuade him to do what he already does. Amen? Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let me give you a New Testament version of it. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. You know what all those things are? It's all the things you're worried about. Go read Matthew 6. It gets a list of all the food you're worried about that you don't have, all the clothes you don't have, all that stuff. It goes through it, man. And it brings you to the place in Matthew 6:33. It's at the end. Seek first the kingdom and all these things. You know what disappointment does? It says you got to quit seeking the kingdom because you got to go find you. And I will be countercultural all day by saying that. Because Jesus said, if you want to find life, you will lose your life. And we can't. Listen, church, we cannot continue to try to mix the gospel up with a feel-good culture because we don't trust God to do what he actually said he was going to do. Amen? And too long, we're trying to find ourselves while we're worshiping God, and it gets weird. It really does. We get weird, and we come up with some really crazy sayings, and the Lord's like, do I have you, or do you just have the best parts of me? And that doesn't work in relationship, y'all. Imagine being married to a person just for the good things they can do for you. That's going to get old. Imagine only appreciating your kids if they do everything the way you want them to do it. Shout out to our students, okay? Gotta help them, man. Delight yourself in the Lord. Father, today, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to wrestle flesh and blood to overcome this stuff. But so much of our attention gets focused on flesh, self, other people, that we lose sight of you. So many times we lose sight of you, who you are, because we're dwelling so much on that thing and we're trying to diagnose it. And it's actually just pulling us away. And today, Father, we're coming back to you. And that's the call today, to come back. How is it written to the church in Revelation? Come back to your first love. Yeah, you got some accomplishment under your belt, but come back to your first love. Come back. Come back. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. See, there are people that they're burning out. You know why we're burning out? Because we're dwelling and we're diagnosing. That's why. Burnout is proof that there is no delight. It's not the schedule, it's not the calendar, it's the thoughts that just keep going on and on and on and on. Today, I pray the Lord will start a new fire in your heart. He said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. If you today, it's like, I got to get back to the place of delight, delighting in the Lord. I want you to step out of your seat, and I want you to make an altar right here at the front of the room. You've been shouting at the devil. You've been throwing verses at him and everything, but today the Lord is saying, come back to the place of enjoying me. Come back to the place of delighting in the Lord. Your salvation has become work, and I know you got to work it out, but come on, there is a rest that comes with the salvation of the Lord. Amen? There is a rest. That means those thoughts can be at rest. We're sitting here trying to arrest the thought, and God's trying to get you to the place of rest. Come on, I know this doesn't appeal to the natural sense because we want to fight and we want to win, but he already calls you victorious. Quit playing the victim card and walk in the victory that's already been bought and paid for. Delight yourself in the Lord. Come on, those of you down here, lift your hands across the room. You can stand out there today, Father. We're coming back. We're coming back to the place where we enjoy you. We're coming back to the place, Father, where we're so thankful that you saved us. We're stepping out of complaint and stepping into commission, Father. We're stepping away, Lord, from the hurt that we just keep rehearsing over and over and over, using it as the reason why we can't anymore. And Lord, today we're stepping by faith into healing. We're delighting in you, the healer. We're delighting in you, the Savior, the one who sets us free, the one who does miracles today, oh God. We delight in you. Come on, if you're fighting in your marriage, it's time to delight in the Lord again and let him begin to work in your heart so you can enjoy your spouse again. We're fighting so much with each other, we can't enjoy each other anymore. With our kids, it's just schedules and run here and run there and get this done. And we're doing fun things, but we don't even enjoy the life anymore. Get back to the place of enjoying. Today, Lord, we delight in you. Restore joy of salvation in this room today. Restore the joy, oh God. Bring us back to before the hurt. Bring us back to before that issue. Bring us back, oh God, to before that, where we enjoyed you, where we worshiped you freely. Delight. 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 Come on, we got to quit eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We got to quit eating from the tree of knowing everything and eat from the tree of knowing him. Father, today we pursue you. We worship you in this place. Everyone standing to their feet, everyone in the room. And I just want you to lift your hands today. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to begin to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for all the other things that you haven't been dwelling on. That thing you're dwelling on, give it a rest. And let's start looking at the other things. Because there are some great things that God's been doing in your life. But we dwell on the little things, that thing so much. Just take a moment right here and begin to thank the Lord. Thank him for the job, even though they're giving you too much to do. Thank you, Lord, that it's paying our bills. Thank you, Lord, that it lets my kid get to wear those shoes. Come on, it matters to the kid. Thank you, Lord, that I've got those friends. Thank you, Lord, that I got this church. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the provider. You have provided more than I thought. Thank you, Lord, you put me in a position I didn't know I could be in. Thank you, Lord, you connected me with the right people that would open a door. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good. So good. So glad today, Lord, that we get to be with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Delight. Before you fight, delight. We're so glad that you joined us for this message. If you would like to give to help us continue to reach more people, you can go to our website, merchchurch.com, and click on give. We hope to see you at church this Sunday.